other. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, we just had Governor Jesse Ventura back on. He happened to be with us last Friday, and then Lord Monckton came on, saying that ClimateGate is an absolute fraud. It's all a scam. He was, a few years ago, on the bandwagon with them. He was fooled. He's now admitted he was fooled. He's very angry. A lot of supporters, well-meaning supporters of this fraud, are now waking up en masse thanks to the work and the research of Lord Christopher Monckton and his incredible ClimateGate caught green-handed report that's up on his excellent investigative site that we'll be giving you the URL for. He's with us graciously for the rest of the hour to report on day one and two of the Global Government Takeover Summit. The UN's calling it the most important summit in history. YouTube says our future is being decided in Copenhagen. They're pushing it. Lord Christopher Monckton, third Viscount of Monckton and Brenchley, has worked at all levels of government, has been a top journalist, has a scientific organization advising governments and corporations, was one of the chief advisors to Margaret Thatcher. The list goes on and on. He really needs no introduction. But Lord Monckton, we got a break in 3 minutes. We'll come back with plenty of time to break this down. But first off, the climate gate blew up even bigger than I thought it would. It is collapsing. You are now there at the center of these crooks trying to declare their global hegemon. Tell us what's happening in Copenhagen.
Well, it's almost as though climate gate hadn't happened, to be honest. The vast majority of the world's mainstream media have still not really said what's in the ClimateGate emails. They may have mentioned it once or twice, as the BBC have, not given it anything like the coverage it deserves, given the magnitude of the draft treaty, which is under consideration here. When I went into the conference yesterday to ask for a copy of the treaty, I went to the UN Documentation Centre and said, right, I want the current draft of the negotiating text. And they looked at me as though they were baffled. You know, the librarian there who had stacks of papers behind her in various languages, she just looked as though she'd never heard of it. So I insisted, and it took about 10 minutes, and they consulted each other, and there were three or four of them arguing over it. None of them would produce the document. So I then did a quick interview with a passing TV camera and came back to the attack, and I said, look, I know this treaty exists because this is what the conference is all about. It's discussing a treaty draft. And they said, oh, no, we've got no such thing. And I said, well, you have, and I want it, and I'm not going to be put off. And if I am put off, there will be an international diplomatic incident. And only then did they produce a stack of papers 2 inches thick, 1,000 pages, most of which was just complete irrelevant. But right at the bottom of the stack, when I'd ploughed my way through it, I found hidden the draft, or the current draft of the treaty. And once again, they are desperately trying to conceal from everybody here the magnitude of what they're attempting to do. They really are aiming to set up a world government. They no longer use the word government in the treaty. I think we've frightened them off that. But all the institutions of this world government and the enormous powers it's going to be given over free markets to tax the American economy to the extent of 2% of GDP, to impose a further tax of 2% on every financial transaction, and that could come to a very large percentage of GDP overall, and to close down effectively the economy of the West, transfer your jobs, if you're listening to this, to third world countries. All of that is still in the treaty draft, even after all the negotiated rounds, even after the fuss that we've all made to try to make them rethink, and even after ClimateGate.
Well, this is just devastating information. So this appears to be breaking news because I've been doing searches every hour for the latest draft text, and the media was saying it wasn't released. There was this Danish text dealing with the way the taxes would be implemented. We'll find out if that's the same text you have. That's up on the London Guardian website right now, but this is massive breaking news. They're also reporting taxes on all air travel globally, taxes on all fuel globally, just a complete takeover. But this financial tax, wow.
This is not a drill.
Repeat.
This is not a drill.
Gun sales are on a staggering pace.
Gun prices are going through the roof, and that means desperate, vicious criminals now want your guns
and will do anything to get them.
Now, a new book reveals powerful secrets for hiding your guns from thieves and looters. You'll learn step-by-step battle-hardened techniques, where to hide your guns so criminals will never find them,
how to create the perfect hiding place,
as well as the places you should never hide your guns
under any circumstance.
These and other closely guarded gun-caching secrets are guaranteed to keep your weapons safe and out of sight when the going gets tough.
But listen up.
For security reasons, the Hide Your Guns book and even the website may disappear without warning at any time. Go to hideyourguns.com.
That's hideyourguns.com.
Or call 877-327-0365.
Before they come for your guns.
Hideyourguns.com right now.
Right now.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
They have tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
Fall of the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation, the criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty, and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today, it seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a Fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at InfoWars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
This is Alex Jones, and I want to tell you about the Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator that produces pure drinking water right from the humidity in the air. No, this isn't science fiction. It's very real. I know because I use one every day in my own home, and it's available right now to you. Because you know exactly where your water comes from with Ecola Blue, you'll know what's in your cup. Clean, great-tasting water without all the pollutants. Get your family off the grid today by ordering your own Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator for your home or business. Their best seller, the Ecola Blue 28, produces up to 7 gallons of water every day. The Ecola Blue 28 is easy to use and economical. Generate your own pure water from the humidity in the air. This system is free of chemicals and uses a multi-stage filtration system, including reverse osmosis, carbon filters, and ultraviolet lights. Order now and claim your water independence today by calling Ecola Blue at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue on the web at www.ecoloblue.com today.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We have the fraudulent ClimateGate emails from the head UN-affiliated climate center in East Anglia. We have the fake hockey stick, the lies about the Arctic completely melting, the lies about polar bears and penguins can't swim. I'm seeing billboards all over Copenhagen saying, save the polar bears, they're going to die. Complete fraud. Big billboards of little girls saying, please don't let me drown. The most base, mindless, fraudulent information. Holdren saying 13-foot sea levels when the UN themselves says, 7 to 21 inches, and that itself based on a fraud. We have Lord Christopher Monckton, because he is a member of the House of Lords, went in and demanded the latest treaty. This is breaking news. It has everything that was in the previous one and worse. You're going to hear this now breaking. We have the Danish text leaked of the architecture of this global government, how private corporate interest, IMF, World Bank, will run the system, not even the UN. So just that's got the third world now reeling, threatening to back out. The Saudis are calling for investigations. So much is happening. I'm going to attempt to go over all of this in the next 51 minutes with Lord Christopher Monckton, again, graciously joining us. So I'm going to try to just sit back, sir, and let you chronicle. You're there at Copenhagen. But also the good news, UN climate chief does say hacked emails are damaging. But as you said, they're like the cat caught with a canary in its mouth, going on about its business like it's no big deal.
They're trying very, very hard to pretend that ClimateGate didn't happen. people who've come to the conference don't really know that it happened, because most of the mainstream media have still really not said what's in these emails. And what has happened is that the mainstream media have done themselves terrible damage by signing up to this climate nonsense, and then by surlily refusing to admit that Climategate was happening, admit how serious it was, and simply inform their readers of what was actually in these emails. Admissions that while they're telling us, as the Met Office did just today, that today is the warmest decade since records began 150 years ago, privately what they're saying in the emails, the Climategate emails, is, hey, look, we've got a temperature which in fact has been falling, and we can't explain why, and it's a travesty that we can't explain why. So they're saying one thing to us publicly, to maintain the scare, making them rich, and that's what's called fraud. It's criminal fraud. And on the other hand, they're saying privately, oh dear, we can't account for the fact there's been no warming for the last 15 years. I mean, that is, it's very serious, this disconnect between what they're saying among themselves privately and what they're admitting to us publicly.
Absolutely. Talking about criminal investigations, Lord Monckton, we have Senator Inhofe calling for it, the Saudis calling for investigations, and the Saudis have pointed out the United Nations, the progenitor of this fraud, they can't run the investigation.
No, they can't, because the United Nations is thoroughly compromised in all this, because the climate panel that it created via the United Nations Environment Program and the World Health Organization, namely this Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which has produced four major reports on the climate, those four major reports are now all under a cloud, because all the major contributors to those reports, the lead authors, indeed the lead author of the entire science report of 2007, are part of these emails, part of this conspiracy to conceal, manipulate, tamper with, invent, make up, and eventually destroy data when it was requested by third-party scientists who wanted to check whether the various extraordinary claims they were making could possibly be true. It's a very, very serious matter, and there's no way the UN can be allowed to do this. I think this has got to go to district attorneys in the United States, and it's got to go to the police and the Crown Prosecution Service in the United Kingdom. It's already gone to the Information Commissioner, because there are plain admissions in emails there over the years that they have been planning to avoid disclosing information to other scientists, which is contrary to the scientific method, as well as contrary to UK freedom of information law. But the final seal on that freedom of information thing is the email in which one of the people concerned wrote to all the others and said, you must destroy all your emails related to our participation in the fourth assessment report of the United Nations Climate Panel in 2007, because we're being asked for it by another scientist under the Freedom of Information Act, so you must destroy it. That email clearly constitutes a serious criminal offence for which the highest possible level of financial penalty is allowed for by the Freedom of Information Act 2000. And the person who wrote that email, whom I won't name on the air because it's not fair to him, he is now going to face criminal charges. He is, I think, going to be indicted, convicted, and he won't be in prison, because we don't imprison people yet for these offences. I think the law's going to have to change in the moment. But he will certainly be subjected, as will his institution, to a very large financial penalty indeed, and quite rightly so.
Well, you're a member of the House of Lords, the upper chamber of your parliament, for those that don't know, Lord Christopher Monckton. Are you saying that the inside information that you're getting from government is that he will be prosecuted?
No, because the government would be most improper if it were to involve itself any way in whether or not to prosecute somebody. That is a function entirely of the Director of Public Prosecutions, who is an official who has to be independent of government. And also, I myself, although a member of the House of Lords, do not have the right to sit or vote. That was taken away.
No, I understand, but I'm saying you're saying you believe he will be charged, or you're expecting?
I think it is certain that he'll be charged. I myself, together with Professor Fred Singer, who founded the U.S. Satellite Weather Service many years ago, have written an official complaint to the Information Commissioner asking him to look into this, as has one of the people who had made a Freedom of Information request. Now, the person who made that information request has been answered. We have not yet been answered. And if I don't get an answer in the next few days, and as soon as I get back from this Copenhagen conference, I will be arranging for questions to be put down in the House of Lords about why the Information Commissioner isn't doing his job and replying to his correspondence.
So you're going to demand justice, and you and others have filed formal complaints, and we have them red-handed talking to the government, colluding to keep the public from getting information that should be public. I mean, that certainly is a conspiracy to engage in a cover-up.
It's worse than that. It's also against every rule of science, because the only way science can work is if people who publish results on which the largest tax increase and the largest abandonment of freedom ever conceived is about to be negotiated here at Copenhagen, they have not been sharing their results and their computer programs and their data with other scientists so that those other scientists can check them. All of this has been done behind closed doors so that they could get away with what turns out to be not just an information offense, but also a very serious scientific and financial criminal fraud for which a very long sentence in prison is the appropriate remedy. And what I have had is requests from two immensely senior professors, one in the United States and one in Canada, that I should draft for them complaints to the British police, because they don't know how we do it yet. They want me to do that for them. They will make sure that I've got all the facts correct, and they've both sent me a large amount of information about the facts in their case, because they're named in these emails in the most uncomplimentary way, and it's very clear that a plot to devalue their scientific research by unfair and foul and dishonest means had been engaged in by the conspirators who have been talking to each other in these emails. So I will be going to see the police superintendent in the East Anglia Constabulary, who is heading up the investigation into who the whistleblower is and whether he should be prosecuted. And I can tell you from now, he won't be prosecuted, because we have legislation which allows whistleblowers to bring criminal offences to the attention of the public in this way without suffering any penalty themselves. So the whistleblower will not be prosecuted. However, I will be saying to the police officer that there is clear and systematic evidence of deliberate, wide-scale fraud right across the meteorological community, in NASA, in NOAA, in the University of East Anglia, in Penn State University, in universities and institutions of learning right across the world, where a small coterie of malevolent scientists, I mean, they come across as very nasty people in the way they write about everybody else that disagrees with them. They're very nasty people, they're highly politically motivated, and they're very bad and incompetent scientists, and also very vicious to anyone who dares to disagree. And this unpleasantness is the first thing that strikes anyone who reads these emails. But of course, unfortunately, here at most of Copenhagen, most of the people basically can't read at all, as far as I can see. And so the idea that they would read these emails is unthinkable.
Well, yes, sir, the propaganda looks like it's... The propaganda looks like it's directed at three-year-olds, pictures of children saying, please don't let me drown. But isn't it important to get these charges rolling while Copenhagen's going on, because that will really blow up in the establishment's face, and that's why they're panicking, because they know they've been engaging in all this crime. Earlier last week, I'm sure you're aware of this, you're always a few steps ahead of us or more, or several leagues ahead of us, it's now coming out that the UN had documents, AP and Fox reported it, where they were recruiting and directing scientists in this fraud and in this artificial consensus from behind the scenes. So we have the United Nations directly in there really the king rat orchestrating this.
Oh, of course, there's been a lot of evidence that one of the people who is very prominently named in the emails, indeed one of the people exchanging these emails, is the person who the UN called in to rewrite the 1995 second major climate assessment report. They do these every 5 years in the UN. Really big reports. So this is the sort of what the bedwetters base their case on. Say, well, the UN says this. Now, the UN said in its 1995 report, and this was what the scientists, around 1,000 of them, had signed off on. What they said was there is no detectable human influence on global temperature. We can't find any. We don't know when we will find it. We're not sure that there is any such thing. Now, they said that five times. Along comes one man at the request of the U.S. This is how we know this. This the U.S. right in the middle of this.
Lord Monckton, we've got a break.
He wrote the report.
We've got a break. We're going to come back with this key information straight ahead.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Good day. Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. December 8, 2009. Gold opened this morning at 1154.20. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for 1185.44, 592.72 for a half ounce, or 296.36 for the quarter ounce. That's 1185.44, 592.72, or 296.36.
On June 4th, 1963, Executive Order 11,110 was signed with the authority to strip the Federal Reserve Bank of its power to lend money to the United States government and interest. With the stroke of a pen, Kennedy would have put the Fed out of business. The November assassination quieted the production of the new currency. However, the executive order still stands unrepealed. Midas has the Kennedy versus Fed document. Call 800-686-2237. Unlike your liberty, the paper is free. Call 800-686-2237. If you're interested in breaking the bondage of taxation and debt, call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
They have tremendous influence on our president and Congress. And they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
Fall of the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation. The criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today, it seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a Fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at InfoWars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Hounded by debt collectors with phone calls and letters? Thinking of calling a debt relief company? Don't. Greedy lawyers and debt companies charge thousands. Why pay when you can get their solution absolutely free with New York Times best-selling author Herb Kay's number one debt secret, the how-to on stopping the calls without paying the debt companies. Yes, free for a very limited time. Here's Herb Kay.
Don't get ripped off by credit repair companies when I can give you the information you need to do it yourself for free.
Herb Kay was right. His free information helped me stop the calls and settle my debt.
What have you got to lose? Stop the calls now, get out of debt, and have more money. Get Herb Kay's number one debt secret absolutely free now. Call 888-352-7726. That's 888-352-7726. 888-352-7726.
I was a highwayman, along the coach roads I did ride, with sword and pistol by my side.
The explosive knowledge that Lord Monckton has is amazing. And you know, I don't get guests up here and kiss up to them. When I read his reports, his essays, when I look at his documentation, when I see him speak on television or radio, the way he lays it out is so amazing because it's such a huge subject. And today he's going right at the fraud, and he was finishing up with the fraud and the criminal investigations and how it's premeditated fraud to establish a collectivist world government controlled by large financial interests that literally are setting themselves up as emperors of the planet. And you were finishing up, sir, but in the time we've got, I then want to get into the fact that you went and demanded and bent the will of these Copenhagen UN bureaucrats to cough up the latest secret version of the treaty with taxes on money, financial transfers. I mean, this is off the charts. Then I want to get your take on the propaganda on the ground there. I want to get your take on what all the scientists are out there talking about, how many people will die and starve to death if even a small of the amount of this is implemented, what the biofuels has already done. I mean, this is so monstrous. Please continue.
Right. Where would you like me to start? You got to identify.
Well, you got cut off by the break. You got cut off by the break getting into the fraud, but I want
to... Yes, I was just saying that I've had these two eminent professors who've asked me to put a case to the police, and as soon as I get back from this conference, I will be going to see the senior police officer, the police superintendent in the East Anglia Constabulary, investigating this matter. I will be laying their reports for him. I will be asking for a two-hour briefing so that I can brief him on the background to this fraud. Because, you know, if you're a police officer and you're not a climatologist, and somebody comes in and says, look, these people are lying and they're making up data, you'd never just believe it. You need to be properly briefed. And I'm hoping they're going to let me brief them on this so that they can understand just how monstrous is the manufacturing of data. Let's just take, for instance, the EPA's decision to try and say that carbon dioxide is an endangerment to to human health under the Clean Air Act.
And it's being announced. It's being announced to coincide with Copenhagen.
Absolutely. Of course it was announced to coincide with Copenhagen. And this is clear politicking, again, of the worst kind. But the technical document on which that is based contains a graph lifted from a UN document and not checked, which pretends to suggest that the rate at which global warming is happening has been accelerating over the last 150 years, and particularly in recent years, the last 35 years. Now, that graph is based on a well-known scientific fraud, it's a statistical fraud, in fact, called the endpoint fallacy, where you take a stochastic data set, that's one where you have to guess which way it's going to jump next, temperature record, like that, and it doesn't follow an ordered curve, it jiggles up and down a lot. And stochastic data sets like that are highly sensitive to precisely the point at which you start and end your trend line. And the UN has used this fact to try to convey an entirely false, entirely bogus, and fraudulent impression, which has been recited over and over again by ignorant politicians, that the rate of warming is itself accelerating, and the EPA, instead of checking independently, as I wrote and told it to do, instead just lifted this material out of the UN's, as we now know, orally dated document without bothering to check it. And guess who was the lead author of the part of the UN document which produced this bogus graph? It was none other than one of the conspirators of the Climategate scandal. So we can tie all these people together in a series of frauds that now links in the EPA itself. And because the director of the EPA did not respond, she didn't even answer the submissions that I and many others put in, she herself is now going to be indicted for fraud because she's made herself part of the fraud by being warned that she was relying on documents that were themselves fraudulent, such as this graph, which is plainly fraudulent. And we know she used it because it's in the technical document that she published. And instead of withdrawing that, putting in a supplementary document saying we still believe we're right, but we can't rely on that graph anymore, she has done nothing about it. She has therefore become part of a very serious international scientific and financial fraud. And she will have to go and go to jail.
Amazing. Lord Monckton, is this not, as many researchers and scientists are billing it, the greatest scientific fraud of history? I mean, they're going for total world government, a takeover of the entire economy, total control of society. It's a fraud by design. They weren't mistaken. They knew it was a fraud. Answer that question on the other side of this quick break, and then we're going to go over the treaty, over what's happening in Copenhagen. He is there, and we're going to give you his official website.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Steve Shank. Alex and I have talked about food security for your family for years. Now we're into the holiday season, the happy time of year when friends and family come together and food is always the expression of our shared love and caring. Here's an exciting announcement. From now until December 15th, all products that eFoods Direct provides are listed at 10% off the regular price. The holiday season is the time for peace, happiness, and security. What better way to ensure fearless hope for the future of our families than to have as much good food in our homes as possible? This year, in addition to the overall 10% savings, the holiday special is made up of the new prepared meals that taste great. It also comes with a free 7-day responder for you to give to someone less fortunate or as a gift. Call 800-409-5633 or on the web eFoodsDirect.com. That's 800-409-5633. We here at eFoods Direct wish you peace, security, and plenty this holiday season.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As they're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
They have tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
The fall of the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation, the criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today, it seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at Infowars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
ScienceandPublicPolicy.org is Lord Monckton's excellent site. If you go there, you can print off the free PDF, Climate Gate Caught Green-Handed, Cold Facts about the Hot Topic of Global Temperature Change After the Climate Gate Scandal. He joins us from Copenhagen, Denmark, in extreme demand there, obviously. We're very fortunate to have him with us here today. And Lord Monckton, again, there's so many subjects to talk about. I want to get into the leaked treaty that you went and demanded and were able to get, the latest leaked information with the Danish text that has the third world figuring out they're being bamboozled and defrauded by this gaggle of scam artists. I also wanted to talk to you about your ideas for the troops out there to not, you know, get orders from headquarters, but to go to the sound of the guns, what we can do globally to expose and fight this fraud now that we're beginning to rout them. What about civil suits? You have all these scientists that were persecuted, that had their papers blocked. You have these scientific journals that were intimidated. That right there is a serious civil matter trying to destroy people's careers. Couldn't civil suits by parties defrauded or taxpayers around the world being defrauded by this lie? Isn't everyone in the world a plaintiff to sue the United Nations, to sue East Anglia, to sue the EPA, to sue Goddard Climate Center? Your take on that, Lord Monckton?
Right. I think that, of course, anyone has the right to sue, but what you need to do is be very careful to use the proper procedures. And the first thing is that we're dealing here with a criminal rather than a civil matter. These people have committed crimes, serious, imprisonable offenses. You would call them felonies rather than misdemeanors. These are crimes for which you can go to prison and should go to prison if you commit them for a very, very long time, particularly in view of the effect that these crimes are already having on poor people around the world who are being killed in large numbers by starvation as a result of policy of Western nations, including the United States, to take, in the case of the United States, one third of its agricultural land out from growing food for people who need it and into growing totally unnecessary biofuels for clunkers that don't. Result, a doubling of world food prices in the last 2 years. Result, starvation. Take Haiti, where they live on mud pie, made with real mud, costing 3 cents each, pinch of butter, pinch of salt. You take the mud, you mash it all up, lay it out in the sun to dry for 6 hours, and sell it to your neighbor for 3 cents. That's what they're living on, or rather dying on, in Haiti now. I was telling this story last year to a conference of government and opposition representatives in Madrid, and a lady in the front row burst into tears, and I said, I'm sorry to have offended you, but it is a rather terrible thing that's happening. She said, I've just come back from Haiti. Now, because of the doubling of world food prices, they can't even afford the price of a mud pie, and they're dying of starvation all over the place, she said. And she was heartbroken. She said, the reason I'm crying is that you're the first person in the Western world I've ever heard mentioning the plight of the poor. She said, I'm so grateful, I just can't tell you.
Well, sir,
that's how serious this is. These people, by their scientific fraud and the financial fraud, they're profiting enormously. One of the documents from this series of leaked documents is the complete financial accounts of the climate research unit, how much grants they've had and how vastly the amount of grants have increased since they began peddling this scientific
and work. They're working
they
with oil companies.
While people die of starvation in a dozen regions of the world, and there are food riots in those regions too, hardly ever reported in any major Western news medium. It is a scandal of the worst proportion. Our own fellow creatures are being killed by starvation because these people have lied and made up the science and hidden it so that nobody else could check.
Sir,
it doesn't get worse than that.
Going back to the question I forgot to repose at the start of the break, is this the greatest scientific fraud in history, A? And then B, we also now have in the emails where they're meeting with Dutch Royal Shell, with BP, with Siemens, and others saying, oh, they're part of our agenda. This is only part of our takeover. This is so wonderful. Can you speak to this? Is this the biggest fraud, scientific fraud in history, A? And B, the collusion of Fortune 100 companies in this scam?
Right. Let's start with that first question. It follows from my last answer that a fraud on an international scale, which has already killed millions by starvation, is the worst fraud you could ever possibly commit. Because our fellow human beings are dying in large numbers because of this fraud. It doesn't get worse than that. And then we come on to your second question. Just remind me of what that was, and I'll deal with it.
The oil companies and other major corporations feverishly
right.
working with the climate scammers.
That's right. This is because they've become so frightened of the united front that the world's governing class has put up, saying we are going to peddle this climate nonsense regardless of whether it's true. But they've decided, I think cravenly, and I've told many of them so, that that they'd better just give in and belong with it and try and make as much money as they can out of it. I think it's disgraceful, and I think their shareholders, there is a case for civil suit, shareholders of companies who have done deals of this kind with the fraudsters of the UN and among the politicians and among the scientists, they do deserve to be sued by their shareholders for not protecting the best interests of shareholders, as every director of a major corporation is required by law to do. So I think that is indeed a disgrace. But what I'd like to do, if I may, is to turn to what is in this draft treaty.
Yes,
about
yes.
The amount of money that they want to take from you.
And sir, let me stop you. Let me stop you briefly. For those
yes.
that don't know, and I've been searching every hour and checking during the breaks, you are the only person, and you first, several months ago, ferreted out the secret draft. Perhaps you can remind us how you were able to get that. And then
a friend of mine called Willie Soon at the Harvard Smithsonian Institute for Astrophysics, who reads everything, bless him, even that which is produced by the forces of darkness in this matter. And he got onto the UN, a very obscure UN website, the website of the Framework Convention on Climate Change Conference of the Parties. And he found what said it was a note by the Secretariat, but he noticed it was a much too large file just to be a note. So he looked at the file, and it was a two-page note, but attached to it was 186 pages. And that was the first draft of the Treaty
okay.
of Copenhagen.
Okay, let me stop you there, because
the title of the file did not say Treaty of Copenhagen. There was nothing to indicate what this was. And had he not been diligent in reading everything, spotting the size of the file, neither he nor anybody would ever have found it. And they would have been able to say, if we had subsequently said, oh, but we had no idea that what the government signed up to in Copenhagen meant all this, the UN would have smoothly said, oh, but it's been on our website all the time.
Okay.
That's how they play these games.
Okay, now that said, again, recap. This is breaking here on air. You have the latest version. You're going to go over what's in it for everybody right now. This is breaking information right now. Lord Monckton, you have the floor.
Now, what I'm going to do is to give you just that bit of the treaty which talks of part of the financial arrangement. I have never seen a treaty as expensive as this one for the West. It's only the West that's going to pay. All the third world countries have been bought, so they will sign this treaty because they think they're going to get money out of it. But it's going to cost the West a fortune. Here's what it says. Developed country parties, that's what they call countries like the United States, for instance, are going to have to pay a tax of anything up to 2% of gross national product. To give you an idea of how big that is, for instance, that's half the best defense budget. That's how much they are going to confiscate to fund this vast new government that they're setting up. I haven't yet counted how many interlocked new bureaucracies there are to constitute this government, but I think it's around 700. I'm going to try and do a more exact count later. Then they're going to be levied on their greenhouse gas emissions. They're going to auction allowances to emit greenhouse gases, and if you don't buy an allowance to emit greenhouse gases, you won't be allowed to emit them. You could find that your local electricity company has to shut down because it can't afford to buy the right to emit this harmless gas into the atmosphere. There's also going to be a uniform global levy of $2 per ton of CO2 for all fossil fuel emissions. So that is really enormous. There are going to be levies on emissions from international aviation, specifically an international air passenger adaptation levy stroke green levy on every airfare, except on journeys that go in or out of poorer countries, of course. There's going to be a 2% share of the proceeds on various kinds of UN goggles towards giving money to third world countries. They're going to tax the money they're going to hand out. There's also going to be a global levy on international monetary transactions. That means every transfer of money across borders will be taxed. They no longer say, as they did in the original draft, what rate that tax was at, but they had in mind 2%. That's on top of the 2% tax of GDP that they're going to charge anyway. There's also going to be, get this, penalties or fines for non-compliance of developed country parties, that's the United States, etc., with their emission reduction and financial resources commitments. That means if you don't cut your economy down to size and cut your carbon emissions, or if you don't pay the vast amounts of money that I've just read out for these various categories, which admittedly some of them are listed as options, but nevertheless, we're looking at very, very serious amounts of money here, then there will be a police force, effectively. This government will have the right, for the first time ever in an international organization, to enforce its will by imposing unlimited financial penalties on any countries whose performance under this treaty they don't like. Now, I could go on and on and on and on because there's pages and pages of this. There's an adaptation fund, a multilateral adaptation fund, solidarity funds, mitigation funds, multilateral climate technology funds.
A total global government takeover. Global government, sir. Is this total global government?
This is total global government, but on a scale which is simply unimaginable. I mean, the cost of all these extra boards and panels and technology funds and this and that, that's going to come out of general taxpayers' money over and above the various individual financial provisions I've just read out. We're looking at a grab for absolute power and absolute financial control worldwide by the UN and its associated bureaucracies and 700 new bureaucracies. And I'm not talking about 700 new bureaucrats. I'm talking about 700 new bureaucratic bodies. Who says how many hundreds of thousands of staff each of those will have?
Well,
they're going to need an awful lot of our money to pay for all that, and this is how they're going to get it. A series of funds and this and that and the other. I've never seen anything.
And global authorities over travel, tracking where everybody goes, expanding on that. Now we have the Danish leaked memo that they've been passing around, and I have that draft here, and it talks about, this is even upsetting some of the UN bureaucrats in the third world countries, that the power will be held by the IMF, the World Bank, and other quasi-private organizations. So we have a private corporate structure directly looting the population. Why is this horrifying the third world toadies that have since been taken over by the IMF and World Bank?
They want the UN to run everything because the UN, they now see as simply a sort of socialist cash-generating machine, a cash cow for third world countries. The UN no longer serves any purpose except first its own enrichment and then a little bit of trickle-down after it's spent all that it wants on its own vast bureaucracies. And you know, there are 200 of those already. At least 200 represented here at this conference. Unbelievable alphabet soup of acronyms for these different, you know, UNEPs and WMOs and WFS and this and that. Hundreds of them. And all of that being paid for almost entirely by the taxpayers of the West and occasionally letting some money trickle down to third world countries whose leaders, therefore, want to get this money for their own Swiss bank accounts. And they look to the UN as simply another source of cash. And so the UN is trying to buy these third world countries by saying, well, we're going to really make the developed countries pay. And the reason the third world countries are now so annoyed with the Danish draft, which was simply intended to try and facilitate agreement, but it got out into the Guardian before it had done its job, and therefore the Guardian has rather blown the negotiations out into the open. The reason why the third world countries are annoyed about this is because it isn't their friend, the UN, that will be running things. It's the much stiffer, much more business-like World Bank and IMF. Now, of course, the trouble is that from the point of view of Western countries, whether it's the UN or the World Bank and the IMF that's running this world government, one astonishing characteristic, and I've looked right through this treaty and I can confirm this, it's just the same as the previous draft, the word election, democracy, ballot, vote, does not appear anywhere. The one thing that's quite clear is that these enormous powers of taxation and interference, enormous powers of levying this and taxing that and funding the other, are all going to be without any representation at all. Now, the old principle, as you know well, on which the U.S. Constitution is founded, is that there should be no taxation of any citizen unless the body taxing that citizen represents that citizen by being elected by him. No taxation without representation is called. But this world climate body, this world government, is not going to be elected by anyone. It's going to be a self-appointed, self-perpetuating bureaucracy, just like the EU commissars who now run the European Union and make 90% of our laws. We have a parliament, of course. It's more or less redundant. We might as well let it go to the Thames. But they're now trying to use that model and have it on an international scale with no election, no ballot, no vote, no right to call these people to account, no right to question them, no right to remove them, no right to replace them.
This so is in the United Nations
democracy worldwide.
So when the United Nations says this is the greatest moment for world government, this is the year of the establishment of global governance, as the head of the EU and as Ban Ki-moon, the head of the UN Secretary General, has said, they really mean it. And so we now stand here at the precipice. You are there in Copenhagen. Here's the big question. Looking at this, being inside of it, watching it, what do you predict is going to happen? And if we lose this and they do get it ratified, then we start fighting it at the national level. What do you see happening?
Let me tell you what worries me about all this. What worries me is this, that this treaty has been through several negotiating rounds. And yet, although they've taken out the word government, because I've screamed at them and you've screamed at them and everyone has screamed at them, all the mechanisms of government, all the funding sources, the funding streams, as they call them, or funding windows is the latest phrase, sounds very coy, but actually it means ways of raiding the taxpayer's pocket. All of these things are still in place and have not only survived the previous draft, but have been considerably amplified. So what we're looking at is, I'm afraid there's no other way of putting this, it is a worldwide conspiracy by the governing class against the governed, by the big boys against the little guy, by the rich against the poor, by the strong against the weak. And if you're a little guy doing your honest job of work to protect and pay for your family, you have good reason to be very frightened at this moment. And if you think that our kind host and I have been winding each other up and frothing at the mouth about something that's just another global government conspiracy theory, I just have three words for you. Read the treaty. As a result of the fuss I've made, there is a chance that by now, if you go on to the UN Framework Convention website, which I think is UNFCCC.int, then you may be able to find the treaty now in draft, because I have made quite a big stink about it not being immediately available when I asked for it. And I think they have been shamed now into putting this up on the web. It'll probably still be quite hard to find. Why don't you all have a look, if you doubt in any way what I've been saying to you about the magnitude and breadth of the scope of this treaty, the powers and the wealth that it will transfer from you and your country to an alien, unelected, communistic bureaucracy with power to control all free markets worldwide, with the power to levy taxes on every financial transaction that crosses the international border. We're looking at an enormous communistic government, which in its sheer scale is disproportionate to any conceivable threat from CO2, particularly now that we know by measurement that all of the UN models were wrong and CO2 is simply harmless. It's an outrage, and I'd like to tell you, if I may, what you should do about it. As soon as you have finished listening to this program, you must dive to the telephone and you must telephone the US Senate and you must demand to speak to your senator or to one of his senior staffers. Do not be palmed off with a receptionist, a switchboard operator, a secretary, or an intern. You must speak to a senior staffer or to the senator himself, and you must ring both of the senators for your state. And they'll tell you on the switchboard who those senators are, and you must say, the Treaty of Copenhagen shall not pass. The more of you do this, the more vigorously you do it, the more plainly, but always politely, you put your point to your senator and to his senior staff, the more likely it is that the Senate will refuse to ratify this treaty. And even though there are various backdoor ways by which Obama has already said via his staff during the election campaign that he would try to circumvent your constitution by going round the back and allowing the treaty to be enacted into domestic law by a simple majority of both houses, or simply by signing it by his executive authority and then using his majority on the Supreme Court to say that that's the way the trend in law is moving and therefore we'll count that as though it were a valid treaty. And the present Supreme Court will do that, you know, if you give it half a chance. And you need to make absolutely sure that your senators are told this treaty shall not pass, so that if any of these backdoor ways of pushing the treaty through against the will of the Senate are tried, the Senate will, if necessary, exercise the power that it has to establish the impeachment of your president if he does try what his staffers said during his campaign for election that he would try. So it's up to you now. You only have 10 days left of being a free country with a constitution of your own. Because once he signs that treaty, and with his Nobel Peace Prize and the millions of keening zombies screaming at him here at Copenhagen, he will sign anything. Once that happens, then it's bye-bye to your constitution. It's bye-bye to the freedom which America has long been a beacon to the world. It has offered this beacon of freedom to the world. Now, you are in immediate peril of losing that freedom. However extreme what I'm saying to you may sound, every word of it is verifiably true. That is the intention of your, and I'm going to call it this, your communist president and your communist administration, your communist science advisor, who only 25 years ago was saying that there would be such a global cooling caused by mankind that ice would accumulate on the Antarctic and it would tilt into the sea and cause a tidal wave bigger than any in human history, wiping out all coastal communities worldwide. Now, he says, that global warming will cause exactly the same thing. They will rise and wipe out coastal communities worldwide. All of this is going on. These people are communists. They do not have the best interests of you or your country at heart. I would not normally speak in this way about your elected administration, but frankly, I think you were misled into believing that there was going to be change you could believe in. This is change on a scale that is simply almost unbelievable, but that is what is threatened unless you use your last day of freedom to stop it. Because once this treaty goes through, you can ring your senator, you can vote him in, you can vote him out, you vote for a different president, it won't make any difference. Once this treaty binds your nation, you will never be free, never be prosperous.
That's another key
never
point. Does the latest treaty still have the wording that there has to be a unanimous vote by all the parties to let your country leave?
At the moment, there is no wording that allows you to leave unilaterally, and therefore the usual provision in international treaties under the Vienna Convention prevails, which is there has to be a unanimous vote of all other parties to let you out.
All right, Lord Monckton.
That's one of the many amendments that needs to be put into this treaty, but of course isn't yet there, despite our having raised this with previous drafts.
Lord Christopher Monckton, we're coming down to the end. I want to say bye to you here at the break. You've agreed that at the end of Copenhagen to pop back in with a final report. But as you said, this is a complete world government takeover from Ban Ki-moon's own mouth, from the head of the EU's own mouth. This is really happening. Total global control grid. Al Gore says it's not enough. He wants even more of our money. They know it's a fraud. These are piratical thieves. And we are 2 seconds to midnight, as you have so eloquently said. But the fraud has been exposed, but it appears they don't care. They're just going to go forward establishing this carbon dioxide dictatorship. They know that gas is involved in all human activity, all life. And by picking that gas, they have a total dictatorship. I mean, this is the dawn of a new dark age with these control freaks preparing to bring us all in as chattel slaves.
And hysterical though that may sound, indeed hysterical though it does sound. Unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening tonight, every word of what your kind host has said is regrettably true. It breaks my heart to say it, and I beg you, get on to your senator while you still can. You only have 10 days of freedom left. Already there have been scientists like James Hansen saying that anyone who argues, as I have argued, should be put on trial and executed for high crimes against humanity, because I want to keep the world free.
Yes, they want
to
execute.
I make no apologies.
To kill people that don't agree with them. Lord Monckton, let me say bye to you during the break. I really appreciate the time. Fire out your website for folks.
It's www.scienceandpublicpolicy.org. And one last point.
Stay there. We've got a break. We've got a break, sir. Back in 1 minute. This is Key Info. Stay with us. Lord Christopher Monckton.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.